Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. In recognition of Eating Disorders Awareness Week, I am honored to share this conversation with Dia, a high school senior who, through her own experience with an eating disorder as a young teen, decided to launch an organization, Eating Disorders Support and Awareness, or EDSA. Partnering with a national ED nonprofit, EDSA is a youth-led organization that raises awareness and provides peer-to-peer support. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited to introduce you to my new friend, Dia. She is going to speak to us about a super important topic and an organization she started called Eating Disorders Support and Awareness. And I am sharing this episode during Eating Disorders Awareness Week. And so it is such an important conversation. Hey, Dia, thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for asking.
It's a pleasure. So tell us more about yourself, how old you are, where you live, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff. And then tell us all about this important work. Start from the very beginning, share as much as you'd like to share, but mostly tell us about this great organization that you started.
Yeah, of course. Well, my name is Dia, as you mentioned, and I am a 17-year-old high school senior based in Austin, Texas, and I go to McNeil High School. And EDSA basically started from a very personal struggle that I had. I was diagnosed with anorexia in eighth grade. I'd been struggling on and off for it for a couple of years, but then I would say winter break of eighth grade was when it really started getting bad, because we were off for winter break and we just didn't have school, and I started engaging in unhealthy behaviors again. And somehow at that time, things escalated really fast. And so usually when I would engage in unhealthy behaviors, they would be for like a couple of months, and then I would just not forget about it, but I would just get back on track or be like, this isn't worth my time. But I think the transition between eighth grade and then soon preparing to go into high school, there was just a lot of stress and chaos. And so I kind of relied on these unhealthy behaviors to be like some sort of coping mechanism for me. And I started relying on more unhealthy behaviors. And in just a couple of months, my health had severely declined to the point where it was pretty noticeable that I was struggling with something. However, growing up in a South Asian household, my parents weren't really familiar with mental health, especially eating disorders. And so they didn't even think twice to like maybe recognize that I might be struggling with something deeper than just like issues with my eating. They just thought I was being a picky eater.
Right.
And I think where the sort of like the big change really happened was when my school English teacher noticed that I'd been skipping lunch, and she called the nurse, which called my parents, and then it just sort of went downhill after that. Like, my parents, they obviously, like, hearing it from like a school official, they were like, oh, this is serious. And so they took me to the hospital, and there I was diagnosed with anorexia, and I had to stay there for 2 weeks because they actually laughed in my face when I first went there. They were like, how the heck are you still standing up? Like, it was really bad. But after that, started a somewhat forceful step into recovery where it wasn't what I had initially expected to happen. I thought that I would like naturally recover on my own, but then with my parents knowing, I had to be forced into recovery. And so it was just an on and off battle for 2 years trying to figure out how to recover, but also I still wanted to engage in my unhealthy behaviors because they were like comforting. And it was sophomore year had just ended, and I had still been engaging in my behaviors, and I had received a not very nice text message from my friend. And I guess she meant the best for me, but the text message basically was like, Dia, if you keep engaging in your behaviors, like, you're not going to end up getting into any college. You're not going to have any sort of future career. And she just went on to say a lot of things about my future and assume a lot of things because of the condition I was in. And call it my villain origin story or whatever. But that was like the point where I was like, there's no way people think that about me. Like, I can't let people think that about me because that's not true. And so that summer, basically, this is where EDSA started from. Using that as like a sort of motivation at first to be like, that's not me. I started reaching out to nonprofit organizations, hoping to bring their resources to my school. And then from there, I successfully received a response from ANAD, which stands for the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders. So makes sense why they go by ANAD, because that's where
right. That's a tough one, right?
But basically, it was perfect timing because I talked to them and I reached out asking if I could bring or like fundraise for their cause. And they said they were currently developing a school-based program to empower students to lead like eating disorder support clubs on campus. And I was like, okay, count me in. Like, I would love to collaborate to help you guys build that. And so the next 3 months of my summer, I sort of spent working with them and collaborating and providing a student perspective on what this program could entail and how students could meaningfully stay engaged with it. And obviously, just with any program, it needed like a sort of pilot run. And so my club, EDSA, started off at my school as a pilot run of the school ambassador program. And so basing the framework off of what I had built over the summer, I launched my school's first eating disorder support club, where basically throughout the year, we hosted awareness campaigns, activities, and we mainly focused on making eating disorders a approachable topic rather than making it serious. And so a lot of our activities included doing stuff like Kahoot games and stuff like poster making events to raise awareness in a non-stigmatizing way. In a year, I just noticed such a tremendous shift, not only in my personal sort of leadership development, because at first I'd been like really scared to talk about my eating disorder, but then I started being more open to sharing my experiences, recognizing that other people felt inspired to seek help too. And over the summer, I really wanted to expand EDSA's model because the student ambassador program was just individuals advocating for eating disorder support. And so EDSA was like that more institutional support through creating school-based chapters. And that's when like phase two started, and I launched my own website and my own Instagram for EDSA and started sort of like promoting it over the summer. And basically what happened was one of our TikTok videos got viral and it got like over 100,000 views. And from there, our follower count jumped from 400 to 800 followers. And we like instantly blew up, and a lot of students wanted to start chapters. And so where we stand today is that we are now partnered with the ANAD School Ambassador Program to be like the student club facing aspect of it. And we have over 88 student chapters in 13 countries and 350 volunteers in 24 countries. And so all of our student chapters work together. We have a group chat, we have like monthly meetings, and we work together and we organize and brainstorm campaign ideas, to which I then develop like entire campaign kits with like templates for Instagram posts and resources for them to then fully implement it in their own schools. And pretty much the story for how it founded. And I'm just super inspired to see our work being led and like eating disorders being spoken about in so many countries where mental health is traditionally not spoken about.
Right, right. Well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing your own personal struggle with this. This is not something to be ashamed of. This is not something we should stigmatize. Also, it's not something we should make fun of and joke about. I'm so impressed and just blown away by your outreach to this national organization that is doing wonderful work, and the fact that the synergy there, that you wanted to start this sort of student-led effort and that they have now basically said, you go ahead, Dia, and run with this. I love it. 88 chapters in such a short period of time really is so, so impressive, and all over the world and all these volunteers. I mean, obviously this is an issue in every community in the United States. In every high school, there is a person, boy or girl, right? We know that this is not gender specific to females. I am just, you know, I am so comforted by the fact that this is catching fire, and that hopefully there will be an EDSA chapter in every school so people feel empowered to find support and to talk to other people about it and not be ashamed of it. It's just really, really wonderful. You've clearly set this up for, you know, expansion. how do schools across the country, across the world, find out about you other than the, you know, viral TikToks and all of that stuff? What does your outreach look like? You know, you started in your own school in Austin, Texas, and now it has, you know, kind of spread like wildfire. Do you have a plan or a strategy for how to get the word out to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we do. Initially, what we started off as was obviously students finding us through TikTok, but then I also, what me and I work very closely with Mr. Jason Wood, and he's the Director of Community Engagement over at ANAD. And so what we thought might be a good idea was figuring out what existing body image / eating disorder support groups exist on college campuses, especially universities, and then reaching out to them and introducing our program, like the ASAP School Ambassador Program, and introducing that framework as a way for us to support their clubs. And so we would invite them. We sent out a long batch of emails to all of these student organizations, and basically we invited them to our program not to change their entire club structure, but to provide more support from ANAS, from a nationally recognized organization for providing peer support services, and to give more resources and mentorships to these organizations. And from there, we actually got several organizations that then onboarded onto the ASAP program. And even if they weren't technically EDSA chapters, they were still eating disorder support chapters. And through that, we invited them onto all of our calls for brainstorming and help them develop campaign kits to run their own events.
I also just want to go back to the point that you raised early on in your own personal story. I'm the daughter of immigrants from Eastern Europe. And food is such an interesting thing. There is a lot of, my best friend is from an Italian American household. There's a lot of like, just eat, just eat, just eat, just eat. You'll feel better if you eat. And food has, you know, the tie between mental health and food and mood and food, you know, it's just this sort of like, it's hard for folks from different cultures to wrap their brains around this. And so I just want to highlight the fact that your family did not recognize this or didn't know to intervene initially, sort of based on their own cultural experiences, right? And I hope that that's somehow part of the work that you do and EDSA does in terms of all kinds of cultures, right? Latin American cultures and others, where it's like, oh, you don't feel good, just eat some more, right? And so it's like the opposite thing. And the awareness raising piece of this, right, is just so, so, so critical. Does that feel like it's part of your curriculum or part of the work that you do?
Yes, definitely. Our volunteers, the ones who can't engage in like school-based chapters or like establish them at their school, they're helping develop resources for our online resource library. And so on our website, we have, it's currently going under like a design I'm changing up the design of the website, but we basically have resources sectioned off for educators, for students, and for families. And for the family facing aspect of it, it's a bunch of resources on how to recognize if your child is struggling with an eating disorder, what to say, what not to say, and just a bunch of helpful advice for parents who are struggling through all of this and just really struggling to realize that it's not their fault. It's not their fault their child had an eating disorder, but it is their responsibility to figure out how to most responsibly handle that rather than blame it all on their child or all on themselves, because either of those options are healthy.
Absolutely. And the permission almost to seek professional help when you don't yourself know how to handle this, because there are professionals, thankfully, today, which again, did not exist even 20 or 30 years ago. Mental health professionals didn't really know what to say in this regard. There are so many people who are focused on this now and that can help. And that is just so important to know how to seek that help. Well, Dia, this is really, really wonderful work. And I'm so impressed by it, and just your ability to take a difficult chapter of your own life and turn it into something so powerful and so positive for so many other people. Think of the people that will be helped, the young people that will be helped through this work. Can you tell everybody where they can learn more and follow? I know your website's going through a redesign, but share with us your social media, all that good stuff.
Yes, of course. All of our social media platforms are at Project EDSA. And on our Instagram, you will find in our bio, we have links to basically all of our other platforms, all of our resources, all of our connections like with ANAD and stuff like that. And so basically our Instagram is our collective hub where you can find our website and LinkedIn and all of that good stuff.
Amazing. Well, I'm wishing you the best of luck senior year. I know you're not going to need it. You are going to do great and wonderful things in the world. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. I'm just so happy that I was able to have you as a guest. Wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.